For those who are able, please stand in honor of God's word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace to you, shalom from God our Father, from Jesus our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit who gives us faith. We come to the end of the book of Ephesians today, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. There's a few verses that follow that. I think there's four more, but the heart of it is here in the armor of God, and so that's what we're going to be looking at today. I guess you're going to really get a thorough look at this because Craig read it, the video covered it, and I'm going to go through it too. So here we go. Verse 10, finally, my brethren. Do you know it's really dangerous for a pastor to say finally in a sermon? Most people think, oh, he's wrapping it up. No, I'm starting with this, okay? So give me a break here. And Paul's the one who said it. Finally, my brethren. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Where do we get our strength and our power from? It comes from God. If you think you have the strength to stand up against Satan, you have another thing coming. You've got a tough lesson to learn if you think you can take this guy on. I didn't bring this out in the slides that I put together, but in the book of Jude, Michael, the archangel Michael and Satan are contesting over the body of Moses. Now, don't ask me to explain that. Doesn't make any sense to me. But they're having this battle over the body of Moses, okay? And Michael says, the Lord condemn you, Satan. He doesn't say, I condemn you. He says, the Lord condemn you. Okay? So even if the archangel Michael is not going to come against Satan in his own strength, the strength of an archangel, we better not either. We better know that our strength and our power come from him as he gives it to us. 1 Peter 5, 8, let's see here, says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This is why we need to understand this. You know, he's already our adversary. He doesn't want to see any of us succeed as believers. And that's why some people say, well, you know, I didn't really struggle with some of this stuff until I came to saving faith in Jesus. And then these issues started showing up in my life. That's because he doesn't want you to be successful as a Christian. You know, when we come to saving faith in Jesus, it's like we get a target and he zooms in on us. He seeks whom he may devour. So we need to be armed with God's armor. There's a situation that I want to bring up in the Old Testament during the life of the prophet Elisha. Israel was under attack by the king of Syria, and overnight the Syrian army had moved in on the capital city of Samaria. That was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. This is after the two kingdoms have split, okay? The guy wakes up, the servant of Elisha wakes up the next morning, and what does he see? The invading army, the conquering army. I mean, it's just a vast horde of people out there. And I'm going to take you into 2 Kings 6, 15 to 18. I'm going to put this up on the screen here. It says, "And when the servant of the man of God, the servant of Elisha, arose early, went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses, chariots, and his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" And I'm sure the servant of Elisha is going like, "Have you been drinking? You know, what's wrong with you? There's just us few, and you see this massive army of the Syrians surrounding us." "And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes and the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." There's one more verse here. "So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed, 'Lord, strike this people, I pray, with blindness.' And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha." The entire army was blinded. Now later on, they were taken to the capital of Samaria, and Elisha prayed that their sight would be restored. This wasn't a permanent thing, but it was the way that they dealt with this conquering army. The host that is with us is much greater than what the enemy can bring against us. We just need to remember that. We live in a spiritual world that we're not always aware of. We're not always aware of those things that are in us or around us. And so that's part of the faith we need to live in as we put on the armor of God and go out where God is leading us. When David went up against Goliath, King Saul wanted him to wear King Saul's armor. And so it says here in 1 Samuel 17, "Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put on a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, 'I cannot walk in these, for I've not tested them.' So David took them off." So David took them off. The point is, God clothes you with God's armor. It's designed to fit you. It's not somebody else's armor. It's not Carrie's. It's not Jody's. It's not Andy's. It's not Mike's. It's yours. And God designs it to fit you. Even though it's God's armor, he designs it for you. Okay? Ephesians 6:11. Did I skip over that, Josh? Do you see that? 6:12. Maybe I didn't get it on there. All right, 6:11, I'm just going to read it again. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The word "put on" there in the Greek, it's a command. Put on the whole armor of God, okay? Can you imagine if you were a young recruit going into the military and your drill sergeant says, "Put on your body armor," and you say, "Sergeant, I just don't feel like doing that today." How do you think that young man's life is going to be for the next, I don't know, several days even? Certainly that day, he's going to get reamed royally because it was a command. You know, it's not just something that we can say, yeah, I've heard about this before, but, oh, that's, I'm not going to be that religious. I'm not going to be that kind of a Christian, you know. It's a command. It's a command that we're supposed to do it, and we're supposed to do it every day. Whose armor are we putting on? God's armor. But yes, as I said, it's designed for us. And that's why I brought up that about Saul and David, and David trying Saul's armor, and it just didn't work. God's armor's made for you. What's it made from? What do you think God's armor is made from? Just take a guess. Your faith? Your faith supports it. What's it made from? Because it's not my faith is not going to be strong enough to do that. That has to come from God.
His word
and light. You know, right at the very beginning of that kids' video, it talked about the battle between light and darkness. Now, if you're wearing light, is that heavy? Is that cumbersome? Is that difficult? Is it going to wear you out the end of the day? Oh man, I've had this light on me for the whole day. I just can't take another step. No. I really do believe it's made of light. 1 John 1:5 says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." I really believe this. I believe that when Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were creatures of light, and suddenly they were in darkness. And then they realized they were naked and they were ashamed. I believe that God's armor is light. And it's made by him. It's made for us. And it's not going to be a burden for us to wear. 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." It's such an important verse to remember. Who do we wrestle against? Who don't we wrestle against? Flesh and blood. You know, do people get under your skin? Do people, you know, just irritate you the way they do things, the way they say things, the way they don't do things? All the time. And Satan loves to get us after each other. Each other isn't the problem. It's the power that's behind it. That's what we need to be dealing with. The principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness in this age. Are there rulers of darkness in this age? Do you think we can actually believe that? The way the world is going, that there's darkness in this age?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And so, we have to remember, our enemy is not each other. You know, we have all these different skin tones in the world. We're not a different races. I really believe we are one race, the human race, and God has given us a wide variety of how we're put together. Okay? We're not each other's enemy. The enemy tries to make us think that and tries to bring racial strife, economic strife, you name it. It's going all over the place these days. And so we just need to remember who's behind these things. 6:13 through 14. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Twice in verse 10 and here in verse 13, we are commanded to wear the whole armor of God. It speaks of the importance of withstanding and standing. Only as we're clothed in God's armor of light and empowered by God the Holy Spirit can we withstand the evil that appears to triumph. Have you been depressed when you see the way things are going in the world? It's easy to get the focus on just the circumstances and forget that God has called us to stand. Stand in a battle? Can you imagine seeing incoming fire? What's going to happen when you see incoming fire? What do you want to do? I want to hide. I want to find the safest place to be. What is God telling us to do? Stand. Can you imagine that? You see a battlefield and everybody goes, phew, and you're standing. You're the main target. You have to have faith that God is going to be there to guide you and protect you and use you to stand and speak the truth. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Imagine that this is what's going on. Wearing the belt of truth. We need truth now more than ever. You know, there's absolute truth. The society, the world will tell you that. That's not a real thing. They'll say, oh, no. Your truth is your truth, and your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. And boy, we better not offend each other because your truth is different than mine. No, God's word is true. What do we call Jesus in John 14:6? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus himself, Jesus incarnate, is truth. And he's the embodiment of that truth. So we need to not only know him as our Savior, but to follow him, to immerse ourselves into his word as we follow him. Psalm 119:180 says this. The entirety of your word is truth. Every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Psalm 119. Did I say 180? Yeah. 160. I don't think there's 180 verses in that psalm. It's the longest one, but I don't think there's that many. So I think I misspoke on that. The belt of truth, it holds, like it showed on that video that we watched, it holds other pieces of the armor in place, like the breastplate of righteousness. So that belt has to be on there. The sword can be attached to the belt as well. The breastplate of righteousness, it's not my righteousness. Boy, I don't want that guarding me. You know, remember we talked about that many, many times. What does Isaiah 64:6 say our righteousness is? Filthy rags. Boy, I don't want that, like, covered me right here. I'm carrying around filthy rags to protect me. No, I want God's righteousness. I want Jesus' righteousness to cover my heart, my emotions, the things that Satan's going to use to attack me. That, you know, when you see how bad it is and you just say, what? It's not even worth trying anymore. Have you ever felt like that? Maybe you haven't. I have. You know, it's just like, why even bother? Let's just give up. I've felt like that. I hate to admit that, but I've felt like that. And that's when we need to remember that his righteousness is protecting us and guarding us. It's his purity, his heart, that's guarding our heart. Let's go on to Ephesians 6:15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I was really hoping that Paige was going to be here this morning. Why did I hope that? Because she's a horse person, okay? And I can't help but think of horses when I see the word shod, you know? I had my horse shod this week, had shoes put on. It's the same thing. It's the past tense of shod. Or to shoe, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need that foundation when we stand. If you're going to be in a battle, now I'm not a fighter, but I've heard from people who are that your stance has to be just right. If your stance isn't right, you can be easily taken off balance. So your stance has to be right. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace, this isn't the world peace of a beauty queen. What do you hope for? I hope for world peace. No, it's not that. It's the peace that passes understanding. It's the peace that knowing that my sins are forgiven, that I've been made right with God, I've been saved by Jesus Christ. I'm one with him. It's that peace, that knowing that my eternity is sure, and I know where I'm going to go. It's that kind of peace. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Shield of faith. What is this able to do? The fiery darts, you can see that. They're coming in. You're standing. And they're stopping the fiery darts. But this shield can do something else. What else can it do to those fiery darts besides stop them? Yeah, it's got a fire extinguisher on it. You know, not only did this stop the darts, but it's not gonna get too hot to hold, because God is quenching it. The Holy Spirit is putting out the fiery darts of the evil one. So, I have a question for us. Do I believe, or do you believe, the gift of faith that saved me can protect me from evil attacks? It's easy to say that here and now, when we're sitting all comfortable, air conditioned, we feel good, we all had a nice shower after our work day yesterday. But when you're in the middle of the battle, do you really believe that? That same faith that saved you from hell can protect you from evil attacks. It's important to answer that question and to know that as you're in the battle and facing things, I never thought I would go through anything like this. God's word says this is how it works. God's word is true. By faith, we stand. By faith, we carry not only this fireproof shield, but we can come against anything that seeks to destroy us, sent to us by the enemy. Ephesians 6:17 says this, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." I have to tell you, it's really strange. When I was sitting out here and Craig was reading scripture today and looking at it up on the screen, I have never, ever seen this before in my life. Just looking at that text. What word is in the word sword? Word. I have never noticed that before. What is the sword of the Spirit? The word of God. Now, that may not be any big revelation, but it's the first time I've ever noticed it. Okay? God is continual. When you get into God's word, he continues to show you things, continues to open up things for us. The helmet of salvation, that's to protect our mind. Satan wants to attack our emotions, our heart, and he wants to attack our mind, what we think. You know what? I've met a lot of people that are way too smart to get saved. Does that make sense? Do you realize that there are people are so smart that they just think they know it all, and they'll never understand. Satan's got those minds. He wants to protect our minds. That's what the helmet is there for. So what if happens when thoughts come into your mind that you think, wow, that's really not what I normally would be thinking. What do you do? What do you do with that kind of stuff? I think it's here. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. No, that's not it. I was looking for 2 Corinthians 10:5. Can you find that, Josh? I can't see the little text on the slides. There it goes. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So when I'm thinking those things, when you're thinking those things, that you know, like, that doesn't really belong there, that's just not the way God wants me to be thinking, what do you do with that? You take those thoughts captive and bring them to obedience to Christ. Well, guess what? I can't do that. So am I just out of luck? I don't think you can do it either. How can you stop these thoughts from coming in? What I do is I pray and I say, God, would you take these thoughts captive? Would you make these thoughts obedient to Christ? And every time that I do that, I know I've said this before, every time that I do that, there's peace. It's like it just goes away. So that's part of the helmet of salvation, putting into practice how we use these things. You know, it's not just enough to know, well, I put on the helmet of salvation. Okay? So how do you put on the armor of God? Where is it? Okay, it's this light. How do I get it? How do I put it on? It's in God's word. And what I do, and if it's a command, and I believe it's a command, it's an ongoing command every day, is just hit your knees every day and say, Lord, clothe me. And I do it differently than the order it's in Scripture. I just say, clothe me with your helmet of salvation, your breastplate of righteousness, your belt of truth, your shoes of the gospel of peace. Help me to take up the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and teach me to stand, that I may be the person you're calling me to be today. Just pray it on every day, every day, every day. And again, it's not going to wear you out. It's, you know, we might have gotten worn out yesterday, Jody, but it's not because we're wearing the armor of God. We get physically tired, but we're not going to get physically tired from wearing the armor of God. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Now, one of the things that's really important for us to remember with the sword of the Spirit is, let's say, and I'm not a fencer or any, I've never had a sword in my hand and I had to defend myself. Let's say I have a sword and I'm being attacked, I might be able to do something with it. But then again, I'm because I don't know how to use it, I might just be done for, right? But if I had been trained in how to use that sword, just like the Roman army, their sword was it's a revolutionary sword. It was only, 18, 20 inches long. It was sharp on both sides. And when the Roman soldiers learned how to use that sword in close quarter fighting, they conquered the world, the known world of the day. So what's our sword? The word of God. How well do you know it? How much of a part of it is you? Did I use the right grammar there? Whatever. How well do you know God's word? Have you read it from cover to cover? You know, there might be things in the minor prophets that God needs to sow into your life. You know, the minor prophets, those are the 12 books at the end of the Old Testament. Nobody can remember what order they come in. Dig into God's word. Let it become a part of your daily life. Learn how to use the weapon God is placing in your hands, the sword of the Spirit. I'm going to show you something I've shown you before, how to get a grasp on God's word. And if you hear God's word like your thumb, if that's it, if you just come to church and you listen, that's the least way to get a grasp on something. Can I hold something with just my thumb? Not very well. Might be able to balance something lightly on it, but certainly not God's word. If I read it, that's the second one. You know, I hear it and I read it and it starts to become more a part of me. Then I go on to study it and it gets deeper. I go on to memorize it. Taking those thoughts captive, sometimes we can use God's word. Isn't that what Jesus used when he was tempted? Use God's word. Meditate on it. What does this mean? How am I supposed to use this in my life today, God? And then apply it to your life. It's a great way to get a grasp on God's word. So the more we know of God's word, the better we're able to use the sword of the Spirit. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with a perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This is the seventh piece of armor. Most people stop with the sword of the Spirit. Prayer, Chuck Misler said, prayer is the heavy artillery. Okay? There's great, great power in prayer. Why do we continue to put out things on the email prayer chain? Because you and I joining together, there's power in that prayer. Praying, how often does Paul tell us to pray? Always. Always. without ceasing, is what it says in Thessalonians. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Do you know, sometimes I've been praying for somebody and like a picture just appears in my mind. I think it's the Holy Spirit showing me how to pray for that person. I've had this experience like just sitting next to somebody and God showed me this picture and I prayed and then they turned to me and said, how did you know that that's what I needed to have prayed about? I said, I didn't know. God showed me. Praying in the Spirit can do that. You know, just being open to what God is leading you to and guiding you with that. To this end, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Praying for the people around us. Praying for our brothers and sisters. And utterance for me. Pray for me is what Paul is saying. Utterance, pray for me. That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, when I read that Paul might open his mouth boldly, I thought, you're asking us to pray? You know, people back then to pray? For you to have boldness? This guy's got to be the boldest guy ever, right? Why do you think he was the boldest guy ever? Because people are praying for him to be bold. What a concept. Do you think that would work for us? For you? For me? We pray for each other to be bold? Have you ever chickened out when you've had a chance to witness to somebody? I have. Let's pray for boldness. You know, just ask the question. Who is Jesus to you? You know, the answer to that question can give you a total picture. Oh, he is my Lord and Savior. I'm a born-again believer. Well, God bless you, brother. We're brothers. Oh, he's a teacher. I don't know. Oh, okay. Here's a way to start. Just ask a simple question. Pray for boldness just to ask the question. Once you ask the question, you're off to the races. J. Vernon McGee puts it this way. Our second weapon, sword of the Spirit is the first, second weapon is offense, is the weapon of offense in prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit is not turning in a grocery list to God. It means that you and I recognize our enemy and that we lay hold of God for spiritual resources. We lay hold of God for that which is spiritual, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul here distinguishes between prayer and supplication. Prayer is general, supplication is specific. All effective prayer must be done in the Spirit. That's McGee. Let's go on to 19 and 20. 20. Pray for which I am an ambassador in chains that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So he said it more than once. Pray for me to be bold. An ambassador in chains. Paul was in prison. Okay? He was stoned and left for dead. And still he asked to be the one who stands, who's bold, who shares the good news. Because why? The world around us, if they don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, they're headed for hell. It's like look across the street and you see the houses on fire and say, oh, tough luck for them. No, you go over and pound on the door. Hey, your house is on fire. Let me tell you, it doesn't look like it's on fire, but it's headed that way. And so, we need to be bold as we speak the truth. And speak the truth. How does Ephesians tell us to speak the truth? In love. In agape love. And that's a tightrope to walk. To speak boldly, to speak the truth, but to speak it in a way that they can hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to close with my favorite verse from Ephesians. Ephesians 2:8-9, two verses. For by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I remember when I came to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and I started reading from Genesis, and I just read Genesis straight through. And when I came to this book, so I'd read almost all the Bible now, getting up to Ephesians, and I saw these two verses, it was just like, hallelujah. Here is the entire gospel. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that faith isn't even yours, it's a gift. God gives you the ability to believe what you need to believe, that Jesus would be your Savior and your Lord. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. To God be the glory. May we always live, always love, and always serve in God's grace, wearing His armor. Amen. Now may the shalom of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.